The Night Sky for January 2008 is part of the Jodcast. For the full show and the show notes, go to www.jodcast.net.
Well, Happy New Year to you, and I hope you have plenty of opportunities to observe the night sky in the coming months. January is a very nice time to look at the heavens, partly because, of course, the nights are long, but also there's a lovely region of the sky that's visible towards the south in the mid to late evening. I suppose the centrepiece has to be the constellation of Orion, the Hunter. Three closely packed stars in a very nice straight line make up his belt, below which hangs the Sword of Orion. And with binoculars, you can see a little fuzzy red glow in that region. It's called the Orion Nebula, and it's a birthplace for stars. Ultraviolet light from the very hot stars that form the trapezium at his heart are exciting hydrogen gas to emit a lovely red pinkish glow called the H-alpha line. If you take the three stars of Orion's belt and work your way up to the right, you first come to the constellation of Taurus the Bull. The Eye of the Bull, Aldebaran, is a red giant star that's about halfway between ourselves and a cluster of stars we call the Hyades. It actually looks as though it's part of the Hyades, but in fact isn't, and obviously is a lot brighter. The Hyades is an open cluster of stars about 600 million years old. It itself has some red giants, but of course, being much further away, they don't look so bright. Red giant stars are the end of the life of stars, and eventually our sun is going to expand outwards and perhaps, in fact, encompass the Earth as it becomes a red giant in about 5,000 million years. Further up to the right, we come to that lovely star cluster, the Pleiades. Now here, all the stars are blue or white. We don't have any red giant stars, which implies that the Pleiades is much younger, probably about 100 million years old. It's a lovely sight with binoculars or even a small telescope. Up and to the left of Taurus the Bull is in fact the constellation Auriga, and the brightest yellow star at its height, at the head of it, is called Capella. This is part of the Milky Way, and in the Milky Way of our sky, we do pick up objects known as open clusters, and there are several very nice open clusters to observe in Auriga. It's a nice place to scan around with a pair of binoculars. Up to the left of Orion, of course, we have the constellation Gemini, the heavenly twins. And at this moment, in fact, just moving into Taurus as January begins, we have the planet Mars, more of which later. So that part of the sky looks just a little bit different than it normally does. And finally, if you take the three stars of Orion's belt and work your way down to the left, we come to the brightest star that we can see in the northern hemisphere. It's Sirius, magnitude about minus 1.5. It's always quite low in the sky, and the twinkling of the atmosphere, the fluctuations in the gas, the turbulent fluctuations, they can actually split the light up. Very often appears to flash with slightly iridescent colours. We often get people ringing up to actually say that they've seen this flashing coloured light in the sky. Well, if it's in the south around January, low down, it's probably the star Sirius. Just a point, Richard emailed us and said that as I go through the night sky page, he actually looks at the things I'm talking about on the Stellarium program, which you can download for free off the web. It's quite a nice planetarium program, gives you quite a nice view of the sky. That's certainly a very good idea, and thanks for sending it in, Richard. Okay, let's move on to the planets. It's not a bad month for planets, actually. It's got better in the last few weeks. And rather nicely, in the morning, at about 6 o'clock, you can see both Mars fairly high in the west and Venus dominating the eastern sky. We've missed seeing Mercury and Jupiter for a few weeks, but Jupiter, which actually passed behind the Sun on the 23rd of December, but it's beginning to come round, and as the month progresses, it will rise earlier than the Sun, and we can glimpse it in the pre-dawn sky. And I mentioned something else about that in one of the highlights a little bit later on. So we're beginning to see Jupiter, but relatively low down, not a very good time to observe it in any detail just yet. Saturn. Now, that's beginning to come to its best showing for us this year in the next few months. It rises about 9:30 at the beginning of January. It's about 8 degrees down to the lower left to the star Regulus in Leo, and we therefore can see that probably from midnight onwards it would actually really start looking quite good. Not quite as bright this year as it sometimes is because the rings are closing in. Their tilt is about 8 degrees to us at the moment, and in fact next year they will actually be edge on, and for a short while we'll see no rings at all. So Saturn getting better in the next few months. We didn't see Mercury last month, but on the 22nd of January Mercury reaches what is called western elongation. It means that it's at its maximum angular separation from the Sun, and this time we can glimpse it after sunset. Binoculars certainly help, and it's actually best to find a site with a low western horizon and observe, with great care obviously, where the Sun sets. That's actually going to be about 16:35 UT on that day. Then as the sky darkens, it should be possible to spot Mercury up at an angle of about 45 degrees from the point where the Sun had set. So that's Mercury. Well, I'm missing out perhaps one of the best planets this month, which of course is Mars. Now, during December, in fact on December the 18th, it was closest to us for about 2.5 years. But in January, it will still be closer and hence larger in the sky, with an angular size of 14 arc seconds just dropping down to about 12, than it will be for the next sort of 8 years or so. And so it's still a good time to have a look at Mars. And one advantage of being after what is called opposition, when it's due south about midnight, it will actually be highest in the sky in sort of the mid to late evening, making it perhaps slightly easier to stay up and watch. Although it's smaller than it was at the very close opposition a few years ago, in fact it's much higher in the sky, so the atmosphere will not sort of limit our viewing as well as it would then, and already there's some wonderful images that have been taken by amateurs appearing on the web. So look out for Mars, very, very obvious in the sky. It's in fact in Taurus this month. Over the year, Mars will sort of move westwards, and it went right into Gemini, but then as the Earth passes on the inside track, it actually goes into what is called retrograde motion and appears to move backwards in the sky. And it's now just got into Taurus. It will remain in Taurus for the whole of January, and then in February it will actually then start moving back into Gemini. Well, finally, I've briefly mentioned Venus. It dominates the morning sky, has a magnitude of about -4. It's in the constellation of Virgo. And the angular size is dropping, but the illuminated area is actually increasing, and these two factors that both affect the brightness roughly cancel out, so it stays almost at the same magnitude, ending the month at -3.9 magnitudes. So it's certainly very bright, and you can hardly miss it in the morning sky. Okay, well, we'll finish up by mentioning some of the highlights that we have in the sky this coming month. Well, it's very hard, because I'm writing this and speaking it to you in sort of mid-December, to know whether Comet Holmes will still be visible, but certainly it was a couple of nights ago. It does now require binoculars to see, and it may not be visible throughout the whole of January, but it's getting very close to Algol, which is the second brightest star in the constellation of Perseus, and it's well worth having a look, particularly in the first week or so, perhaps the first 8 or 9 days of January, when we're approaching new moon, and hence there won't be any moonlight in the sky. As Comet Holmes has been getting bigger and bigger, it now has a bigger angular size than the moon, it's actually becoming less bright, although the total brightness is staying roughly the same, and you do need a dark sky to see it. Well, on the night sky page on the Jodrell Bank website, you can find some charts to help you find out where to look. In fact, we have another comet in the sky this month as well, and it's called Comet 8P/Tuttle, and it actually runs down on the boundary between the constellations of Aries and Pisces. And on Jan the 3rd, it's actually very close to a lovely galaxy called M74. And again, there's a chart on the night sky page. It should reach a maximum magnitude of about 5. So theoretically, one could just see it with the unaided eye, but I suspect one would need binoculars. It's closest, I think, on Jan the 3rd, and it's actually getting quite close as comets go. But that, of course, means it actually moves very quickly. And by about the 14th of January, it's dropped way down into Cetus. So do have a look for Comet Tuttle. Well, I've mentioned Mars, still nice and visible in the sky, and do make the most of the next few weeks, because you've got a while to wait until it's going to be as good. Well, we have another meteor shower this month. They're called the Quadrantids, because in the past, the radiant, that's where the meteors appear to come from, was in a very small little constellation called the Quadrant, which is the sort of thing that you could actually measure angles between stars with. In fact, that has disappeared, and we actually find it low below the tail of the Great Bear, so that's below the Plough. And about the best time to see it would be about 5 o'clock on January the 4th, and very nicely, there'll be no moon in the sky, so they should be very easy to see. And you can get a rate of 2, maybe even 3 meteors per hour. They're not particularly bright, so you want to have a nice dark sky, but that could well be very well worth looking for. Perhaps while you're there, if you've got binoculars, look up to the tail of the Great Bear, and the central star, in fact, you'll see is a double star, Mysore and Alcor, the horse and rider. And in fact, if your eyesight's good, you can perhaps even tell it's a double star just using your own eyes. Well, finally, at the very end of the month, Venus and Jupiter come into conjunction. To be perfectly honest, the closest they get is on the 1st of February, but on the morning of the 31st of January, they're still within about a degree of each other, and make a very nice triangle with a little star cluster called M22 in Sagittarius. So with binoculars, that might be quite a nice little thing to see. Venus is at magnitude -3.9, Jupiter at -1.9, so just spot Venus, look to the lower left for Jupiter, and if you're lucky, down to the lower right, making a nice triangle, is M22, a globular cluster at magnitude 5. So there we go, quite a bit to see. We may well have some long nights to observe. They're like to be cold, so if you go out, wrap up well, wear a woolly hat, and maybe have a hot drink with you. Good hunting.